Welcome to the Hold My Juice Box podcast, where we talk about motherhood and entrepreneurship. I'm Christina Zimmerman, a top producing real estate agent, business owner, coach, and mom of two great boys. This podcast is for all the women out there navigating through motherhood and building big businesses. My goal is for this to inspire, motivate, and encourage you as we go from surviving to thriving in motherhood and business. Alrighty, well, welcome to the Hold My Juice Box podcast. I am here with a very special guest today, and I cannot wait for you to learn from her in this episode. When I heard about her, I thought this is absolutely perfect for this podcast. We talk a lot about moms and women and entrepreneurs and business and how to go from starting a business to having a successful business. And there's a big difference. And so when we decide who to interview on this podcast and try and bring you the best content we can to really help you in your business goals, one of the things that we look at obviously is stories of really strong women who have created these big businesses and have grown these incredible careers with a family. And that's been a lot of the focus. And now we're kind of shifting into a focus of, okay, let's find you people who can really help you in the areas that you might be struggling in. So this person who is coming on today is definitely one of those people who I think would be an amazing resource for anybody listening, especially because of what she specializes in. So let's jump right in. Welcome, Samantha Varner, to the Hold My Juice Box podcast. Thank you so much for being on with me today.
You are so welcome. I'm happy to be here.
Just to give you a little background, Sam has a pretty extensive career background, but she is currently a profit coach and a podcast host of an excellent podcast. When I was doing my research on her, I went to the podcast and listened to a couple episodes and I said, yep, that's the one. She's got to be on this. So I highly recommend it. It's the She Needs Grit podcast. We'll have the link to it in the show notes, but it goes hand in hand with what we talk about on this podcast. And I think if you haven't heard it already, make sure you go check it out because you will absolutely love it and be ready to take notes from it. Sam is from Canada, but she is currently living in hot, sunny Texas, and we'll get more into that in a minute. But she really focuses on teaching women business owners how to become profit makers, how to go from starting a business and kind of working as an employee in that business into that, changing into that CEO role and really having a successful, profitable company. And she has her own program that she has created and her own method that is very successful. So we will dive into all of that. But before we get started, Sam, can you just tell me a little bit about yourself in your own words and your four wonderful kids? You have a big family.
I do have a big family, and they are, I always have to think about it. Okay. So we've got a 14-year-old, a 12-year-old, a 10-year-old, and an 8-year-old this year, which means we're in three different schools. So the two youngest will be in elementary, and then I've got junior high and high school starting, which is the beginning of that journey for us, which is a little bit intimidating, right? Kind of, but also feeling like, I remember being in that depth of being the mom of littles, lots of littles, and thinking I was never going to get to the point where we were here. And now we're here and they're making their own lunch as we speak because they can. So that's a nice shift for the kiddos.
There's a lot of changes too, you know, because it is so hard with littles and you think it's going to get so much easier when they can make their own lunches, but then you get so many other challenges I'm finding just with my 8-year-old that I was not prepared for. Some of the questions you get and things like that.
Yes. You end up having far different discussions than what you were having when they were three, for sure. Yeah, it's been fun. I'm enjoying these middle years of parenting. I loved being a baby mom, but I really like these middle years. The personalities, as that really starts to show, is quite cool. They're an entertaining bunch at this stage. Destructive a little bit, lots of wrestling in our house with three boys, but fun nonetheless. So
they got to keep you on your toes, right?
They do. Basically all the time. they're back to school next Wednesday, and I may or may not be counting down the hours until we're quiet in my house for just a
minute. I think we all are.
Yeah, I think we're all ready. I think the tail end of the summer is all that time where, especially if you're somebody who owns a business as well, and you've got kids, and in the summers they're at home more, just in general. It is a happy day, that first back to school day for all of us in that position, I think.
Yes, definitely. Well, you must be pretty good at managing your time though, because your business is very successful. And do you have, not to put you on the spot, but do you have any advice for moms throughout the summer to kind of keep both things going?
Oh yeah. So, I feel like over the years I've tried so many things. I think that the number one thing is making the decision of how many hours you're going to work or how many hours you need to work, right? So that depends on what you're doing, what your job or your company is. But making that decision and then figuring out a way to actually carve out that time for yourself. So knowing that seasonally, you might have to shift your schedule up. And as somebody who this summer said to, I was chatting with my husband and he said, I'm not working every day this summer. I'm going to be available for other things. Meant that I moved all of my clients onto Wednesday, Thursday, which meant for excruciatingly long days on those 2 days, and not a lot of breaks in between. So if things ran a little long, I was scrambling to get another coffee or go to the washroom, but it allowed for Monday and Friday to be basically wide open, which meant I could do stuff with the kids or just be around while they're at home and didn't feel pressure. And the thing that I like the most about that is that none of my clients cared. None of them cared. And I think we forget that. I think we like expect ourselves to be perfect all of the time and to never like have something come up or be a human with family, which of course dictates things go sideways all of the time when you're a parent. And all of our clients are understandable. Or understanding of that in that circumstance. And I think just giving ourselves the space to breathe and allow for that to be okay. Do that as a mom who has a business. Do that all the time. Like restructure that schedule according to heavy sports season or when Christmas break comes up. Build that gap into your business. It'll make your life a lot easier and you'll feel less frantic.
I think that's such good advice. And that's definitely something that I think is so attractive to moms about becoming an entrepreneur, that you can kind of make your own schedule. There's a lot of hustle involved, but you do get to that point where you can condense your work schedule and make it work for your family. And I love that. But I thought what you said was really excellent about deciding ahead of time how many hours you're going to work for the summer. When we started getting closer to the end of school, my assistant asked me, she said, what days are you going to be working in the summer? And in my mind, I was like, well, I'm just going to power through and work 24/7, you know, and she made me stop and think, actually, yeah, you're right. I should take some days and just have days with the kids and, you know, and made me plan that out ahead of time. And I hadn't even thought of it. So I think that's a really, really good suggestion, especially if you're in control of your own schedule.
Mm-hmm. That's the whole point, right? Like if we're going to put all of the effort into owning our own businesses and being the boss, then for the love, build the business that actually supports your real life. And your life changes over time with kids, but there's always that, like, I don't know, it's the, especially with 4 kids, it's the doctor, the dentist, the eye doctor. Like I've got to go to all of those. But if you know you take one Friday off every month and that is appointment day, it makes it easy to book all those things in. You can get haircuts, you can get all the stuff for the kids that you need to get in. And you're not feeling like you're trying to maneuver around a schedule all the time. So it's that kind of like how your assistant had you do it ahead of time. It's doing that all the time and setting those chunks of time out so you can just work when you're working and mom when you're momming, right? It's really hard to double dip. It's really hard to do that. And it usually feels like you're doing a crappy job at both if you try and do it too often.
Exactly. And is it bad that I'm taking notes while you're talking? Because I never thought about having a day to get all that stuff done. It's like you said, double dipping, where you're trying to get it all into one day. And there's all that research that shows that multitasking is not nearly as efficient and effective as you think it is. And you're actually losing a lot of your time just switching back and forth in your focus. So yeah, that's a really good tip. Thank you.
Well, and that I've learned from experience, like 100%, that's been me figuring it out and being like picking up one kid for an appointment and having a client meeting scheduled. And it takes him longer to pull him out of gym class or wherever he is. And so all of my air traffic control stuff goes sideways because I didn't put enough of a buffer in. So I have learned the hard way more than once. No, just choose a day. Make your life easy right from the beginning.
Great idea. And that shows, you know, exactly what I was saying. This is what you specialize in, is helping people go from the struggling, hustling to get the business off the ground and maintaining the family into more of the lifestyle that you're actually doing this for. I mean, we work to live, we don't live to work, you know, and you are really good at helping people make that transition. Because I think when you start a business, there is a period where you just really have to hustle, but mm-hmm. you should be getting to a point eventually where it's taking off and you can have a life and you get to that point that you were dreaming of.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you're not getting to that point, then there's something mismatched, right? Like you're doing something not enough, or you're not doing something, or you're doing too much of something that's not actually helpful for your business. And it feels like it should be helpful, but it's not producing any fruit. So it's that piece of sometimes you just need that objective view that can say like, oh, hold on, did you look over here? And you're like, oh no, I hadn't. But now it's of course makes sense that that's the problem I'm dealing with.
Yeah. And that's the value of having a coach. And, you know, not to sound salesy or anything, but I have a coach, and just to have someone, like you said, looking from the outside in, the things that he says, I'm like, how did I not see that? You know, but you're so in it and you're working so hard that you need that outside perspective. So let's back up a little bit and tell us a little bit about your business. But before you get into that, start with kind of your background, where you started and how you got to where you are now.
Okay, cool. So I am, I'm Canadian, and I was living in Canada, living in Alberta, and was working in financial planning. So my background is communication and marketing and public relations. So from school, that's kind of what I did. I got into a PR agency and it collapsed after about two and a half years, I think. And so I tripped into a finance job, really just because at that point I needed a job more than anything. And then I stayed there for the next, I don't know how long that would have been, 7 years or so, but doing financial planning and estate planning with the Canadian Medical Association. So with all of the doctors, they kind of, as part and parcel of their fees, they get access to a bunch of professional services that they can use. So that's what I was doing. And my husband and I went to a party one night that was a going away party for one of his colleagues. And she said, hey, would you ever live in Australia? And of course, sitting on a patio, it's lovely. Of course, we would move to Australia. That would be great. Well, Val moved to Australia with the job that she was going to. And I don't think it was more than 6 or 7 weeks after that, we were flying to Australia because Mike had accepted a job in Perth.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It was crazy chaos. We had two little kids at that point. And we moved to Australia. So I was like, okay, I'm going to requalify and I'll do the same thing that I was doing in Canada in Australia. So went through all of the stuff because, of course, things are very similar in terms of the finance side of things on the personal side, but not identical. So I went through all the licensing and I did all of that. And Mike came home and said to me, hey, what do you think about Texas? And I was like, Texas, USA, Texas, like what? And he's like, yeah, what do you think about that? And I said, okay. So at that point, we had our other two boys that were born in Perth. So we moved to Texas. So my Canadian and my Australian qualifications were 100% useless.
Oh gosh.
And I decided when we got here, my youngest at that point was like 8 weeks old. So they were all very close in age and very little, but I was like, no, I'm not doing that again. I'm not going to try and build the same sort of life here as I did everywhere else. I'm going to do my own thing. And so I started financial coaching. So I started coaching individuals on their personal finances is where I originally started. So looking to help with that. And what I found was, I mean, honestly, my first client and then everybody almost after that had a business. And what I realized very quickly is like, yeah, we can budget, we can structure, like spend less money, that kind of situation. Or I can just teach you how to make more money in your business and never mind the budget. I mean, still keep an eye on the budget, but it's way more fun to make more than it is to try and scrimp and save and like you jiggle around your personal money in a way that allows you to buy lattes or whatever it is, right? So that's how the profit coaching came to be. Was it was just that was the path that my clients were taking me down, and that's what I've followed ever since. So I've been doing it now almost full time. Like every year gets a little bit more time as the kids go to school, but it's been just shy of 5 years now with substantial hours. I would say before that there was a lot of little hours, but then substantial.
Wow. That's some big changes. And a lot of our audience is military spouses, and it makes sense that they jump into entrepreneurship for the exact reason that you did. When I started, I was actually an archaeologist and I married my husband and we moved around, and it was like every state we moved to, I would have to start at the bottom again. And every state has different history. So you got to learn the history of that state and everything. And it was so much work to redo that every time that I shifted into real estate, because that would move a lot better with me. Yes, you have to learn the laws in the different states, but it just moved a lot better. And I think there's a lot of other moms listening that can relate, and business owners. So, but what's really interesting is how much you adapted, rolling with it. And then not only did you adapt for yourself, but you were able to listen to what your clients were needing. And instead of fitting them into your box, you changed and found a need, and you're working around solving that, which is great.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny. Whenever I tell this story, right, whether it's on my podcast or other podcasts or just in general, like out in the business world chatting, that is always the feedback, right? It is that like being able to pivot and being able to go with change. And I've always just thought, well, yeah, I just do it. I mean, that's part and parcel of a mom with four kids also. Like even before the business, you just make it happen. I don't know how I got all four kids in and out of the grocery store and the car seats and all, like you just do. And it's not always fun and it's not always pretty, but it gets done. And so I think I've taken that attitude and that kind of philosophy very much into business, to be like, I can get it done. I can always get it done. Is it going to look exactly how I have that vision in my head, like the birthday cakes I make for the kids? No, it never does, right? The cakes don't look the same. The business doesn't look the same, but it works, right? We can get it done. Moms are pretty darn capable of making things happen with whatever supplies they're given. It's very like, we can all MacGyver things pretty well, right? So I think having faith and leaning on that piece is helpful.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Do you work primarily with moms and business owners, or is it a variety?
It's primarily, I would say, right now I've got two male clients. So every once in a while, there'll be a male client that comes through that I know, from networking, or somebody refers them, but for the most part, it's women. And for the most part, they're all moms. So, yeah.
Yeah. Some of the other moms that I've interviewed on here, we talked about being resilient and resourceful, and what you learn from motherhood that you can apply so much to business owning and life in general.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So you've gone through quite a few changes, and it sounds like you've done very well. Talk a little bit about your coaching program in more detail, because you have something very special that you've created as far as a model that is really helping people.
Yeah. I think from my back in the PR world days and the marketing, I really wanted to come up with something that was easy for people to understand what I did. So I came up with the Crush formula, And essentially what I believe that is the five key areas that if you have all of those kind of front in your mind, right? So you're not necessarily perfect at any five of those at any given time, but you just work on those five categories all the way through, you're going to be successful. It kind of like spits out at the end, a successful business owner. And then you just build on that. So every stage, you kind of go back and review the formula and you can build on it to where, what stage are you at now? What place are you at now? We just revise that. So the CRUSH formula stands for, so the C stands for the core of your business. So kind of your mission, your vision, your values, your why, really nailing that piece and having it be something that you can lean on again when days get hard or you don't want to do it or clients aren't coming or whatever reason, things are just feeling struggly. It's a really good kind of like anchor so that you can kind of anchor yourself to that. So we work on that piece.
Is that something that you think stays the same no matter what, or does it adjust with your business when you do your business planning every year? Or
I think it stays the same in a lot of ways. I think especially like the value piece of it, like what is important, what is the life you're building, right? So when you're forward projecting a 3 or a 5 year vision of what you want to see happen, that's always based around like, what's the life you're trying to build? That's always more important than how much money do I want to make or whatever. It's really about like, what is the vision for my life? And what values do I have with how I service my clients, who I work with, what I believe in terms of whatever, and it doesn't matter what industry you are, but like what part is super important to you? Is it integrity? Is it honesty? Is it transparency? You know, all of those kind of things. So it stays the same, but it's really critical. I think what happens is we like draft up a mission statement at the beginning of our business, often because we're avoiding talking to clients or potential clients. And it doesn't, at least for me and for a lot of my clients, it didn't mean anything at that point, right? You didn't know enough to know what is my mission, or you didn't dig deeply enough to determine what is the mission, because it's always more than like, I get clients sometimes that are like, well, my mission is to make a lot of money. That's what my goal is. And I'm like, okay, fair. There's more to it than that. There's a reason you want to make more money. There's a reason why you don't want to work in a corporate job or whatever that looks like. So it's about really like determining what those things are and then recentering yourself back to that more frequently than we often bother to do on our own.
I think that's great. A lot of agents that I've talked with, especially recently, you know, in real estate, everyone's been watching the news on the housing market and everything, and they feel like it's screeching to a halt, which is a whole nother can of worms. But a lot of realtors are struggling with where to go from here. And the ones that I've spoken with are like, you know, I don't have the motivation to keep pushing me through a shift. And it taking them back to exactly what you just said, you have to get really deep on why you're doing this and why do you need to make that money, and not just to live on, but you know, what is the reason for all of this? So I think that's great. Starting with going really deep with the core parts of your business. And as you grow your business, that becomes your business. Like you said, the integrity and the culture that you're promoting, and then you start to attract more people to your business through that. So yeah, you're right on. That's so important.
Yeah. And the good thing, I think one of the benefits I've noticed as my clients are scaling up the ladder is that becomes kind of so important when you go to hire. So what people forget sometimes is at the beginning, it's just you, right? So you're like, this is just what we do. It's just me is we, right? But eventually there's a team potentially, even if it's who am I going to work with? Who am I going to pull in as a subcontractor? Who am I going to pull in as a transaction coordinator, as a realtor, right? All of those people. And do they mesh with the values that I want to make sure my clients get in every interaction? So you start to build that kind of team environment and that the just the environment you want to have in your company. And that gives you a much bigger vision long term, right? You can step into somebody coming in, understands what are we building here beyond just a real estate company or a coaching company or whatever that might look like.
Right. So back to Crush then.
Yes.
Covered the C. Okay. What's next?
What's next? Next, we're going into the R, which is the revenue piece. So this depends on the client's financial kind of savviness. So whatever piece of the financial piece they don't understand or they don't do, or they put in a file and ignore, or they are have some shame around. There's a lot of, especially for female entrepreneurs, there is the money stuff can be hard. It can be very much a triggering event for a lot of women that I deal with. And so we go into like, how do you do your P&L statement? How do you track your expenses? How do you determine what your profit ratios are month over month and then year to date? So you can see as you're growing, what's happening. Just all of the finance pieces. So whatever piece is missing, that's what we deal with each individual client. And so that the cool part about Crush is it's different for every client because every client has different pieces of it really, really nailed and other pieces that they just don't know how to do or that they have never considered. So that's the art is we do the money.
I love that because it does go hand in hand. And I don't know, it'd be interesting to see your response to this, but do you think from your experience, most entrepreneurs, do they have a good grasp on the financial and bookkeeping side of the business? I would think not so much.
Almost nobody does. And if they do, most of the time, it's because they're coming from some sort of job at some point that they were doing it already. So there was some level of confidence in their financial management side of things. But the vast majority of my clients don't do it with any regularity, right?
That's what I would think.
They do out of desperation at the end when tax season comes along, and they're really only doing the bare minimum to get their taxes done, right? Not necessarily evaluating on, are we spending our expenses in the right places? Are the expenses actually transitioning to dollars in the business? Or do we just think we need these things? And so we spend them, but we're not actually seeing a return. That kind of stuff doesn't happen as often as it could. And it should, because it's not hard. It's just a matter of making it habitual.
And having the right person to help you do that. Because for some of us, it is really hard.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
That fact is true. And I think the funniest thing is when I said, so I've got a bunch of siblings. And when I said, like, I'm doing this profit coaching, I was explaining what I was doing. And my brother's like, I mean, the finance piece, you spent more hours at the kitchen table with math homework and like a lot of gnashing of teeth. And it's true because I definitely did, but I think it's anybody can do it. Even somebody who's not particularly money savvy or financially savvy or math savvy, like right when it comes down to it, it's just about setting it up and then just implementing it, right? So if you have somebody who's like, here, do it like this, we can all do that. That piece is easy.
Right. I know Every entrepreneur listening and myself as well is going, yes, yes, please.
Please teach me. It's hard.
I'll do it. Yeah. Just set it up. So That's awesome. So two huge things already, and we've only just started on the Crush method.
Yeah. And that's the thing is, so when you move through the rest of the Crush formula, like the U is utility, which is very cool, but it is very specific to industry. So it's really talking about automation. What are you doing so that you don't have to be a one-woman band forever, right? Are you making software choices? Are you making hiring choices? Are you just getting yourself in a position to grow, or are you putting yourself in a position that you can only cap out here because your capacity is there and you just can't get farther? And there's lots of, every business is unique in its way that it can grow, and every business owner is unique in how they want to grow, right? There's often a lot of hesitation with the idea of like, I'm building a big empire, I'm building a big business. And you don't have to have a huge business to have a huge revenue line at the bottom of that spreadsheet. But you do have to be very strategic with what pieces you've pulled in, be it software or human, right? So it's working on that piece, which is fun.
Yeah, I think that's critical too for entrepreneurs, because a lot of times we've worked so hard to create something, we feel like we're the only ones that can do it at the level that we do. So Having someone like you to be there and show people how to hire the right people who, going back to core, will maintain that level of service that you've created, you know, is huge. And then, like you said, being okay with building an empire in a way that makes more sense than maybe you envisioned. And not to get sidetracked, but one of the things that I think you cover a lot in your coaching is also mindset. And I think that goes hand in hand with a lot of this. So I didn't want to leave that out.
Yeah, no, it's, and that's the H of the Crush formula is the headspace, right? And it, you're right. It hits every piece. It is, it's kind of like the umbrella that goes over everything because, and it is the piece of the umbrella that I literally struggled with for the longest as an entrepreneur to even embrace. I felt like mind work was really woo-woo. It was really out there. I was kind of like, I mean, I can just tactic my way through anything and get it done. And it was only when I started, I had a couple of different coaching experiences myself that kind of opened my eyes to mindset in a different way and to thinking about it and to actually engaging with mindset, not just kind of like reading over that piece and ignoring it essentially. And it changed my business. It changed how I thought about my business. It changed how I thought about myself as an entrepreneur and what I was capable of. And it allowed me to have a much broader idea of what I could accomplish if I just did the tactics. And the tactics I know how to do, that was so easy. And so bringing that mindset piece in, if your listeners are at the point where you're sitting there and thinking like, oh, I don't know if I have the mindset piece, or I think it is kind of like woo and I don't understand it, it is worth diving into. It is worth taking the time. It'll be more valuable than any tactic if you get that straightened out.
Absolutely. And I think on a mom level that it's even harder because I know there's always that struggle between, am I being a good mom? Am I keeping the business going at the right level? You know, and I got home late one night with the kids and one of my older neighbors looked down her nose at me. And she goes, well, you were working quite late, weren't you? And instantly I had that mom guilt and I thought, actually I wasn't, no, we were out running around this evening with my parents, but it was that perception of you're working too much. And are you spending enough time with your kids? And that all goes back to your mindset of, you know, well, should I scale down? Am I doing too much? And, you know, it really is crucial to have the right systems in place so you can grow, and then having your mind right so you know where you're going and why, and that that's okay.
Yeah. Well, I think it's the joy of having kids when we're building businesses, right? Is you get to reframe that. You get to decide, yeah, maybe I do work. Maybe I do work really late sometimes. Maybe I'm not always there for tucking people into bed or whatever those things are, right? And we make those choices. And at least in my experience, I know which things my kids really need me at. Like they are the mandatory things, right? And I don't decide what those things are. And they're often not the things I think they are, but they will let me know. And the things that are not as important to them, it's actually okay to sometimes be like, this comes first. Mom gets to come first. And we as women are terrible at this. And it, as moms, are even worse. Like we just get worse as we go through this stage. And it is okay to say, listen, this doesn't mean I love you any less. This doesn't mean I don't care about your things. It means that this is really important to mommy and this is her important thing. And today, they lined up at the same time and I can't make it to your thing, but I will be at X, Y, Z thing, whatever the next things are. Right. And once you give yourself permission to do that, the kids will give you permission too. Right. I have found that they occasionally are like, oh, I'm sad you're not going to be there. I'm like, yeah, I'm sad I'm not going to be there too. And that's the end of it. And it's okay. Right. So yeah, we don't want to miss everything. Nobody wants to miss everything. That would be terrible. But if you do miss something, don't do the guilt thing, right? Like really, really like play this part back in your brain when you're in that position and just be like, it's okay. They're going to survive. They're going to see something even more amazing. That's their mom building a business and showing them what's possible, which is incredible, right? So.
Exactly. It's a learning moment for them too, you know, because 100%. When they have kids, boys or girls, they're going to be in that same situation. And we want them to have a healthy mindset about it. And so when they see us feeling guilty and awful and everything else, that's probably how they're going to feel when they grow up. And when they see us on the flip side of, you know, wow, mom has something that she's very passionate about and she's helping people or she's doing these great things or whatever it is,
yeah,
that is inspiring. And hopefully when they grow up, they have something that they're passionate about and they can share it with their family and their family will be more understanding and, you know, all that good stuff. So absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. What was I wanted to say that just before we skip or kind of we're finished with the crush formula, the S in there is sales. So this is where a lot of the rubber meets the road when it comes to entrepreneurship. If you're not selling, you're not making money. And if you're uncomfortable with selling or any piece of selling, right? So that could be selling and just promoting yourself on social media or promoting yourself out in the world. Or it can be just straight up like I have a client in front of me and I'm trying to sell them my product or my service. It is the biggest hindrance to entrepreneurs is this sales stumbling block where they don't want to feel salesy or they don't want to feel sleazy or they don't want to be pressury. And my goal is to get more women to be really confident in that position because that creates generational wealth changes, right? Like that has an impact far beyond one paycheck. Because if you can figure out how to do that, the confidence also ricochets. What I've noticed with clients is it ricochets far beyond just like your ability to sell. It changes how you look at yourself and how you feel about yourself. And I think for women, we all need that more. So that's a huge piece of that crush formula too. So I didn't want
to skip. Yeah. And honestly, it's probably good we skipped it and came back to it last because it is one of the most important pieces of owning a business. And that's one of the biggest things that I hear is people saying, I'm not a salesperson. And it's like, you mm-hmm. have to be to get your business off the ground. That doesn't mean you have to be a slime ball.
Please don't be a slime ball. It doesn't work well, right? Like it's not an effective tactic.
No. And what it does mean is you should be taking the time to become an expert at sales, like you said. And the reason for it is you have a service or a product that is going to help somebody. And if you can't sell it to them and show them why it's going to be wonderful for them, you're not helping anybody because it's not getting out there. And it, you know, they're, like you said, there's such a bad taste in people's mouths about being a salesperson. And I love that your whole crush formula really just encompasses the most important pieces of anyone's career. I can't think of anything that's left out. And all of those, if you've got those at least mostly dialed in, you're going to do really well. You're going to be very successful.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a joy to see what I often say to clients, this isn't about scrapping things and burning it to the ground. I think sometimes people have that impression that you're going to come in and I'm going to be like, well, we have to do it all differently because you're doing it wrong. That's almost never the case, right? This is way more of a renovation than it is a build. We are just smoothing the edges and decorating out the rooms a little bit to sort out what you need to do. There's not a particular right way or wrong way to do it. It's just kind of like shifting it a little bit is usually all that clients need to have it big impact on the backside of it. So.
Right. I love that. And I think this is so helpful for anybody listening. And if you are struggling in any of these areas, which I know we all do, I mean, none of us have it perfect. Sam is amazing. And we will definitely link everything about her in the show notes so you can find her and reach out to her to get more information. Because she's there to take your business from starting to where you're dreaming it can be. And it's just so beneficial to have someone who can be on the outside looking in and really take what you're doing and make it that much better.
Yeah. So. I love it too. Like it's my favorite thing. I'll talk about it all day long if given an opportunity. So yeah.
And definitely check out her podcast because it is not a lot of fluff. I mean, it is really good information on all of these topics that we've covered and then some. Everything from scaling to just making your business more stable, tools and skills that you can use. Definitely check it out. So one of the things that I always ask is, you've gotten this pretty well figured out. What do you think is the best piece of advice that you've gotten in your professional journey and mom journey? And then what do you think is the thing that you've learned the most from? Maybe a mistake in building your business or something like that?
I think the best piece of advice probably is that nobody is thinking about you as much as you think they are, right? And not from a positive standpoint, but they're not thinking poorly of you as often as you think they are. So when it comes to things like promoting your business, you need to do it more frequently than you are. That's true of everybody listening, myself, you, everybody, all of us need to do it more. And people are not bothered by that, right? So just remember, nobody's thinking about you. They're just not. They're only thinking about you when they need you, but otherwise they're not judging and thinking about you in that same way. So I think worry about that less and just do what you love more is probably the best piece of advice I've ever heard. And in terms of a mistake I've made, I think one of the things that actually, this is a good one, is one of the mistakes I made early on was feeling like I had to cater to clients in both my scheduling or my types of program and be super, I don't know what we want to call that, super malleable. And I've learned that no, boundaries are great, right? Like, no, you can't text me on my personal phone. No, I'm not going to reply to you at 8:30 at night. No, I'm not going to build a 3-month program when my program is 6 months, that sort of thing. And that's a hard thing to do because at the beginning, when you're at that early stage, you want to get a client, right? You're trying to land a client and you're really excited to do that. But building, really going back to and building that business you're trying to build that supports the life you're trying to build means that 8:30 is not a time for business for me, right? It means that no, my clients all are in the same package because that makes my life easier in so many different ways, right? So just stick your stick in the sand and then stick to it because your choices, whatever they are good.
And you know what's so interesting about that? That's excellent advice. And I think moms and women, we do struggle with that really badly. And so, you know, we're, like you said, trying to build our businesses. So we think we need to be working around the clock, constantly answering at all times of the day and night, because it shows that we're hardworking, right? But then yeah. If you look at true professional industries, so like your doctor, your dentist, people like that, they don't answer you at 8:30 at night. Do you think it's because they're not professional? Absolutely not. So when you do talk to someone who has very clear set business hours, very clear programs, it actually makes that client respect you more and see you as more of a professional than if you would have answered at 9 o'clock at night. And I've had to learn that in my business. Luckily, I learned it about 2 years in because I would have gone crazy. But I remember someone asking me, I was complaining about, you know, gosh, I've got this one client that's texting me at 4 a.m. and 10 o'clock at night. And he said, haven't you set your business hours yet? And I thought, this is real estate. There are no business hours. And he said, oh, yes, there is. And sure enough, now it's, I want my clients to see me as the professional that's going to take care of their things. So, you know, that's, it's kind of interesting how that works because, you know, in our minds we're thinking, no, it looks better if I answer at 8:30 because it shows I'm a hustler. It's like, maybe not.
Yep. And especially I feel like real estate is a area where that is notoriously bad, right? It is. I've had more than one conversation with, and I have quite a few clients that are realtors, but I definitely have had a couple of conversations at networking events to push back really hard on that 24/7 mentality, because that makes it not a job. Like, that makes it torture and it's not fun. Like, you're not going to stick it out if you're never getting downtime or vacations or half an hour to eat lunch or whatever that looks like. That's really important.
You can't maintain that.
Nope.
Especially you can't scale either, you know, because if you'll hit that limit of how many people you can answer 24/7, and there's just not any more time for any more clients. So you really do have to set this up correctly, and it'll go so much further, and you'll be so much happier and really just have the life that you had in mind. So
yeah,
this has all been excellent information. I know I've taken notes and I wasn't planning on it, so I've got some changes to make. The last thing is, what are your goals and dreams for the future of your business and your family? Where do you see yourself in the future?
So kind of back to my whole travel history and work history, right? I don't know in terms of location. I think we're probably in Texas for the long term, but in terms of goals for the family, for us, it's now that kids are in high school. That's a big deal, right? We're going to have that whole high school experience for her. So continuing our travels back and forth to Canada, the way that we do to see family, that's always big. And taking more time as the kids get bigger and they can carry their own suitcases, traveling becomes a lot more palatable for the parents when we're doing that. So those are big on our list. And then for the business, I'll be launching my group program starting in the fall, late fall of this year. So that's going to be big, right? So there's a big scale for me to go from all one-on-one clients up to group programs. So I'm excited for that. I am kind of knee deep in the creating that and working on it now. So that's the biggest goal for She Collective right now, is getting those group programs on the deck. So
awesome. So big things in the future. That's great.
It is. It is. It's a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. And like I said, we'll definitely link everything in the show notes. Check out She Needs Grit. That's Sam's podcast. Definitely go to her website, which we'll link for the She Collective. And I hope you really got a lot out of this. I think it's awesome information for anybody in any stage of business, you know, whether you're just starting out or you've been doing it a long time and you know that you're lacking in some areas, or maybe you need a full reset, Sam is there to help you. So definitely go check her out. And thank you so much, Sam.
You are so welcome. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening. Be sure to click the subscribe button to make sure you're the first to know when new episodes are posted. You can also connect with me on Instagram at czim_realtor or visit my website at www.christinazimmerman.com.